Hello everyone, welcome to Chan Podcast. Here is where you learn about meditation and Chan. So, what is Chan? Chan, spelled as C-H-A-N, is the Chinese school of Mahayana Buddhism and is the originating tradition of Japanese Zen. We encourage you to learn and practice meditation with a group. If you'd like to, feel free to visit our website londonchanmeditation.org.
And this chapter is talking about sitting meditation. So in this short chapter, actually Master Huinen pointed out the very, very important point to meditators. Actually, it's very, 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 very profound teachings. Even though it is short, but it is pretty deep and very dense. Okay, in this chapter, we can understand in four parts. The first part is these three very short paragraphs here, talking about the falseness in sitting meditation. You know, the false concept, the incorrect approach, the incorrect ways that people do sitting meditation, and it's wrong ideas. And in this part, mainly directed to the mistakes, the wrong concepts, engage the mind or working on purifying the mind or engage making an effort to turn our mind into motionless, so unmoving, okay? And the second part, he clarified what this idea or aim of a goal of people, certain people, that reaching the mind of motionless. The mind doesn't move, okay? And then he moved on, talk about what sitting meditation is and what is meditative concentration. So this is this chapter. Okay. All right, I'm going to hopefully make it bigger so everybody can see. Okay, I think now it is clearer. Okay, you know, before we get into this chapter, what is sitting meditation? How do you define sitting meditation? What sitting meditation looks like? Or what do you think sitting meditation is? Can anyone share how do you define or what sitting meditation mean to you? We have just gone through that. Okay. Well, sitting meditation, of course, we should be sitting, right? Idiot. Sitting on a cushion or sitting in a chair. So, you know, you have to sit in the correct posture, right? We have all taken the beginner's meditation class, and then, you know, the 7 point of sitting postures, you know, like what we went through tonight, place your buttocks on the front part of the cushion, and then your legs, your hand position, your shoulders, and tucking your chin, and lower your gaze, all these things. So to make sure our body is put in a sitting posture that create absolutely no unnecessary tension in our body. To place the parts of a body, all these parts, in its natural biological structure. And how do we know that? Through the tactile sensations. For example, my head, when I tuck in the chin, if you move the head by, you know, moving the chin positioned, and then starts, then you will notice at a certain angle, you feel tension in your neck bones. Okay, heavy, your head is not in the right position, not in balance. So certain parts of the body, your neck bones, or sometimes it could be your shoulders or your back, have to make an effort to hold that out of balance position that create tension. So through the tactile sensation, you know where each part of your body is placed properly according to its natural biological structure, our body build. Okay, that's how we begin with the sitting, and then we want to take care of a body by relaxing the body, relaxing the muscles, so the muscle was like hard and firm and rigid and tense, and gradually release the tension and muscles, become relaxed and soft, softening, okay? And meanwhile, we collect our wandering thoughts over the places to rein in, to settle down in the body. Go through the parts by parts, so you know. How do we know our mind is on the body? Because, oh, we know the sensation of this part, the sensation of the eyeball, the sensation of the shoulders, oh, sensation of the chest, of the abdomen. Then you know your mind is on the body, settled on the body, okay? And at the very beginning, your mind is quite coarse, still like scattered, on and off, sometimes clear, sometimes don't know where it is. So our awareness, the clarity of the mind, is not so good. But more and more, when the mind settles, the clarity enhances. And you'll be noticed the subtle and nuances, the subtle changes, sensations going on in the body. And then finally, you know, your body and mind becomes more subtle and subtle. You'll be aware that the presence of your breath, it will naturally surface or manifest. You don't go after the breath. Okay, if you cannot feel the breath, that means your body and mind is not settled, not relaxed enough, reaching the level, the very subtleness of the breath. The breath is very subtle. When our body is coarser than the breath, the mind is coarser, discursive, than the breath. We cannot feel or experience the breath. So if you feel, oh, I should now, you know, experience my breath, I should now perhaps counting the breath, making some progress, right? Then you cannot feel your breath. And then you make an effort to create breath. That will not be a natural breath. You're manipulating your breath. So we don't do that, okay? We don't do that. That's incorrect way to practice. So, all right, we follow that, we do it correctly, and then the mind become very, very relaxed, and you know, the mind also freed of any discursive thoughts, wandering thoughts, you know, and less and less wandering thoughts. The mind become calm and freed of any wandering thoughts, deluded thoughts. So that's our goal, isn't it? The mind becomes calm, clear, and pure, freed of any defilements. Wouldn't you agree? That's how sitting meditation should be. I see two people say yes, yes, and even have thumbs up. Okay. All right, let's see what the sixth patriarch is going to tell us. Okay. Well, the master, referring to Master Huinen, say to the assembly, okay, even though we are how many years? 1600 years apart, we are also now here learning his teachings. So we are also his assembly here, just 1600 years later. So he said, in this teaching of sitting meditation, one fundamentally does not concentrate on mind. What? Okay, nor does one concentrate on purity, nor is it motionless. Did anyone say, what? What are you talking about? Non-concentrate on mind, non-concentrate on purity. I just want to purify my mind, free of any defilements and discursiveness and any, any thoughts that's defiled. Nor is motionless. So motionless is not our goal, not our aim. Purifying the mind is also not the goal, not the end. Why? Why? What are you talking about? Okay. So tonight, I think I will make an effort to cover all these three points, these very important points. And we'll probably have to make this this teaching of here of the chapter five into, two sections. Perhaps the second part will be covering the sitting meditation and meditative concentration. Okay. But, okay, if we can be clear, what he means, not to concentrate on the mind, or concentrate on purity or motions. The mind. Well, the next sentence, he will be talking about concentrated mind. Well, let's start with motionless. We all remember when we start to practice sitting meditations, it's hard. It's hard to sit on a cushion for 10 minutes, right? Even 10 minutes seems to be very challenging, not moving. My legs hurt. I cannot sit like this. My back hurts. Everything hurts. To sit still, not on the cushions, not moving, seems like a goal almost impossible to reach. So our first goal will be sitting on a cushion. The body is not moving all the time. Because our body is not so flexible, not used to this sitting posture. But this sitting posture is the most stable, long-lasting, enduring sitting posture. And it's also very, very good, very, very wholesome to the overall health of the body. And also it's the best posture that the body can ever make to enhance their circulation. the circulation of the blood, the circulation of the energy, the circulation of metabolism or breathing, you know, all kinds of things. So this is the best posture, you know, throughout 2,500 years since the Buddha's time. This posture has been adopted by the Buddha and many great masters throughout all these years. So, but we are not, our body is not flexible. We are not used to this new sitting posture. So it takes us some time. So the body can learn and become more flexible and be able to settle down in this posture. So the always the first challenge, yes, is for us is to be able to sit on a cushion and settle down. Not being affected by that. The next, the challenges would be dealing with the pains, pain in the legs, pain in the buttocks, pain in the back, lower back. Dealing with that. You know, in sitting meditation, in our retreat, we give guidance on people how you should work with your pain. Okay. So it doesn't mean the pain will disappear, will never occur in your sitting meditation, but you know how to take care of it, how to work with it. So it will not be an obstruction, will not hinder your practice of meditation. You will not be disturbed by it. You can continue to practice. If you are disturbed, quiet, it then become obstacles to your practice. Like, you know, we're living in the world. Oh, I really like quiet, you know, quietude, quietness. Just give me some time, give me 10 minutes, you know, completely quiet and no disturbance at all. But how long can you have that complete quietness? All the sounds happening, hearing in our world. But if you're paying to that particular sound, you probably cannot continue what you're doing. You probably cannot, you know, carry out your work and task efficiently. You're disturbed by that. And the sound will become an obstacle to you. Okay, so we learn how to work with the pain, have the correct attitude toward it, and how to apply the method correctly. So the pain will no longer be an issue, be an obstacle to you. And next, what are we dealing with? The thoughts. I don't know, I have so many thoughts. Well, I need to think of something. I could never think of anything. By sitting down, all thoughts just arise. You know, no control over it. I'm counting my breaths. Every time, count to 4 and 5, and lost count. Just way too many thoughts. I need to work with that. I need to control it. I don't like it. And we keep on struggling, fighting against the thoughts, and never reach a state of complete stillness and motionless. So we long for that motionless state. Okay? And then we learn not to be bothered, and the thoughts just arise, and letting it go through, it would eventually vanish. So we learn and practice not to be disturbed by the thoughts. The thought is like everything, every phenomenon in our world. It's a result of causes and conditions. It's impermanent. That wandering self would not stay here forever, will not occupy your mind, your head, your brain forever. It comes and it will leave, not to be disturbed by that. Okay? And naturally, The thoughts will become less and less, even though there may be some randomly spotted here and there. It will no longer disturb you. It will no longer be a problem to you. Okay? All right. So, okay. I can continue to count my breath for one sitting. Wow. What a pleasant experience. If you do the silent meditation practice, wow, very clearly, the body just sitting there. No wandering thoughts. You know, do you think this notion of motionless or unmoving is true? Do you see anything that's completely motionless in our world? Anything? Yeah, parking the car in the garage, parking the car in the parking lot. After 2 hours shopping, I go back, the car is still there. We may see like a, you know, tree trunk just laying out there, some moving. Yeah, it may seem quite static, but is it that truly so? You know, even though like we're sitting here, the body is not moving. Okay. But is it so? We're still breathing, right? If we're breathing, the air comes into the body, goes in out of the body. Isn't that some kind of a movements. Our blood is circulating. Metabolism is just working. Well, thank goodness it's still working. The air is still moving smoothly so we can breathe. We're still alive. Our heart beats. Great. If all this stops to operate, completely freeze, will we be able to do sitting meditation? No. If the mind ceases to function, completely stop, then what are you sitting there for? You're sitting there, just make an effort in order to stop your mind, to freeze your mind lose all the functions. What's the purpose? I mean, I don't know. What good is that? Make yourself, turn yourself into a dummy or you know, zombie or something. Only a dead person, the mind of a dead person, ceases to function, stops. If the mind doesn't have any function, cease to work, cease to operate, stop completely, how can it have any kind of insights? How can it have any awareness? How can it cultivate, have wisdom? Not knowing anything, not seeing anything. What's the function of the mind? So this notion of motionless or moving is not what I describe here. What people tend to think. What unmoving is. Emotionlessness. Did you admit That's how we tend to think a moving is. But that is not the case. That is not true. We are not working. We are not making an effort to meditate in order to reach the state of motionless. This is not true. It is false. One of the falseness, motionless. Okay, and then we will move on to talk more about this motionless. Let's read the next sentence. If one is to concentrate on the mind, and then the mind evolves, is fundamentally false. You should understand that the mind is like a phantasm, so nothing can concentrate on it. Yeah. Some time ago, a meditation practitioner, told me, shared with me about her practice. She told me, you know, right now, you know, when she meditates, she can clearly spot the rising, the existence of wandering thoughts. Actually, it's not arising, it's actually already arisen, existed. And she can spot the wandering thoughts. And very quick, and notice that wandering thoughts. So right now, when she meditates, there's very, very few wandering thoughts. You know, in her meditation, she's paying attention to the wandering thoughts, implying that she has this attitude, mentality. You know, the wandering thoughts is her object that she's working on. Wandering thoughts is not good. The wandering thoughts is something I need to get rid of. I don't like the wandering thoughts. It should never exist in my sitting meditation. So the wandering thoughts become the object of her awareness, becomes her method. Tackling the wandering thoughts, get rid of it, so there is no existence of the wandering thoughts. Then the mind is calm and settled and pure. And let's see what the Master of Huinan say about it. Well, if one is to concentrate on a mind, then the mind is fundamentally false. You know, our mind is actually the wandering thoughts. Our mind is illusory. If you turn the mind into the object, that meaning you believe the mind is real. The mind is something true and real there. You know, our mind is conditioned. Conditioned by what's going on internally, how we feel, what we see, what we notice, what we like or dislike, is conditioned by our perceptions towards all these things, conditioned by what's going on in the environments. Regardless, whether it's the the mind give rise to our thoughts voluntarily or involuntarily in a passive way. All the phenomenon, all the mental activities are temporarily existing, occurring temporarily. It's not permanent there. So the mind is also of this illusory nature. If the mind is real, whatever you think at this moment should stuck in there, should always be there permanently. But our mind is changing all the time, right? Our mind. Because 1 minute, this thought, another minute, another thought, you may think, like, I just think, I initiate these thoughts. Yes. Okay. But that thought will vanish next second. And sometimes, most of the time, the thoughts were actually, affected. Or provoked or inflicted, affected by what's going on around us. Its existence is very, very short and temporarily. So, this is the illusory nature of the mind. It's not real. Why do you want to work on something to achieve something that's illusory, that is not real? So if anyone is say, I'm just observing my mind, seeing my mind, not allow it to have any illusory thoughts or, that's not correct. The mind is like a phantasm, it's illusory. What do you want to concentrate on? The next minute, you change, vanish. If one is to concentrate on purity, our nature is fundamentally pure. It is through false thoughts that suchness is covered up. Suchness means as it is, the true nature of everything. You could not see it. Just be without the false thoughts. The nature is pure itself. When we start to practice meditation, at the very beginning, we find that we have just our mind just too scattered and diluted, very discursive, very chaotic sometimes. And most of our thoughts are impure, associated with greed, aversions, or ignorance, and which we call three poisons, get us into trouble, get us into suffering. So we want to decrease the rising of those defiled thoughts. We don't want to end the mind of greed, aversions, and ignorance. So one day, when our mind is pure, that'll be great, right? Without any defilements and delusions, that'll be great. Next sentence, next line. If you activate your mind to become attached to purity, you will only generate the false sense of purity. The false is without location. That means it doesn't exist in certain specific locations. It is without any specific location. It is the attachment that is false. When the mind is attached to purity, it is false. It's false mind. Purity has no shape or characteristics, no certain form or appearance. And yet, they are those who create the characteristics of purity to create this form, this appearance, how the purity should be looked like. The presence of purity create that image, the form, the characteristics. And consider it an effort, work on purity, enable the mind into a pure mind. That's an effort. That's we should be working on. To have such a view is to obscure one's own fundamental nature and only to be fettered by purity. This paragraph tells us our fundamental nature is already inherently pure. But if we go after purity, purification, and that's wrong, that's false. Why? It doesn't work like that. If we can realize our fundamental nature, then the mind, the self, the I, you know, having this notion of pure or impure is very problematic. You go after purity. Actually, the impurity exists. Right? The impurity exists in your mind, in your notion. Your mind is discriminate against impurity. Is it real? Really, the pure or impure? Let me give you a few examples. You know, like the car right now in pandemic, we use drive our car less, much less. So the cart may not be serviced promptly and at the time that it should get service. So we may not change the oils, you know, the lubricants, everything. So the car is not not functioning well. So we need to fix the car and change oils. So, you know, quite handy, we can change oils. And then your hands become dirty while you're fixing the car, change oils. But after you change the oils and put a lubricants at it, the car start to function properly. Then you can drive the car on road and safely with your whole family. So while you're changing the oils, you dirty your hands. Yeah, that's impure. That's defiled. That's dirty. But what it gets to you as peace of mind, safety, a sense of safety for your entire family when they're sitting in the car that you drive. That peace of mind, that sense of safety, that state of freed of any worry, fear for possible car accidents. Isn't that pure? So what you are going after? You know? Now we have to cook more often at home. I think we probably still cook it. Even now we can go to restaurants a little bit more than before. We still cook a lot of meals. You cook, you prepare the meals, you wash vegetables, and afterwards wash dishes, and you cook the smell, or sometimes even the smell, you know, all the grease and, you know, mess up in the kitchen. Yeah. You need to clean it up, right? So you dirty or messed up with your hands or everything. That's impure. But you had a good meal. You feed everybody on the table. And what you cook, because you clean it thoroughly. So they also have a peace of mind. They are eating very, very safe. They had a very safe and, you know, cleaning, wash and prepare meal. So what is pure and impure? And there are some people who really going after cleanliness, everything. Mysophobia. You know, clean, wash their clothes, very, very clean, all the dishes, even the fruits, wrap it and clean it, wash their hands, clean it. Yeah, the purity, the cleanliness is so important for them. They still eat, they still urinate, they still defecate. They still have nasal mucus, phallus. All these are impure. If they so much look after, you know, pursuing this pure purity, they might just stop eating. Don't eat anything, so you will not produce those feces and urine or those sweats. Right? The moment you clean, you wash your clothes clean, you wash the dishes, you clean them, you wash the vegetables, they can be forever clean. So actually those people, you know, they have more and more serious mind, a discriminating mind against the impure things, impurity. They can only accept less things because they value so much of the so-called purity. How pure could that be? Right? So that's why the Heart Sutra says, no increasing, nor decreasing, neither pure nor impure, neither arising nor perishing. So what we see is just that moment, that particular moment in time and space, its appearance, its look. But the very next minute, it changes. What you see as purity, clean at this moment, it comes from impurity. It comes from dirtiness. And that the next moment, it becomes less clean and less pure. So what is pure? Impure. If you continuously and then working on this mind of differentiated, discriminating pure and impure, that's against the path. That's against the way to be enlightened, the way to reach enlightenment, against the way. So it says, you know, to have such a view is to obscure one's own fundamental nature, and you be fettered by purity. You are conditioned by purity, and that is also conditioned by impurity. It's just two sides of the same coin. So no need to work on that, right? Let's finish the motionless part. Good and wise friends, you are. We are. Someone who cultivates motionlessness, when he observes other people, does not notice their rights or wrongs, good or bad, their faults and failings. That is the motionless of self-nature. Good and wise friends, the deluded person may be motionless in body, but as soon as he opens his mouth, he gossips about others' rights and wrongs, their good qualities and shortcomings. And in doing so, he goes against the way. If you concentrate on the mind or cling to purity, this just obstructs the way that is enlightenment. So going after and have this motionless as our goal, it is not motionless in the body. It's not motionless. Cease all mental activities, mental functions of the mind. But it's unmoving by what's going on around us, what other people do, what other people say. You know, a lot of people, they may be doing very well and very good meditators, sitting a long time, you know, and reaching a certain level or experience. But when he starts to see others, he immediately can tell, you know, what they're doing, right and wrong, good or bad. And what comes his mouth? Telling people, speaking about people's others' rights and wrongs. When you say something in that nature, that means your mind is in that state. Your mind is discriminating people from rights and wrongs. Your mind is already defiled. Not a pure mind. You're affected by that and start to criticizing people. Certainly, you know what they're doing, what is good and what is not good, what is bad. When you're helping people, you know it's a benevolent actions. When you are hurting someone, you know that's a very bad news. Your mind is clearly aware, but you are not affected by it. When you start seeing, you know, people's running bad, your mind is already affected by that. Your mind is already become deluded, defiled, discriminating. And that's against the way. So in the very first chapter of the Platform Sutra, when Huainan received the transmission from his teacher, the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren, and then he went away to the south, and one of his Dhamma brother, Huimin, you know, came after him. And then when Huimin met him, see him, and then Huimin say, "Well, I came after you because I want to know the Dharma. I want to know the essence of Dharma. I want to understand. I want to enlighten to that teaching of wisdom." And then Master Huainan said to him, "Not thinking of good or evil, where is your mind?" And then he became enlightened. Not thinking of good or evil. That is the Brahman. When one become free and, you know, the discursive mind, discriminating mind disappear. The pure mind is there. Okay, I'll end tonight's talk here.